off the ball rugby.
There was a goal in the two teams, and that was the most disheartening thing. And does that mean that Leicester can't come back? No, of course. Like, of course they can rebuild, but the mountain is bigger than it's ever been.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50 milligram film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Did everybody tune in properly for the full Palace conference? At the end of the game, I saw Steve Parish and all the players, and they're all very happy. Like, it wasn't like they just won the Charity Shield.
Yeah.
It was a proper European competition for them.
Yeah.
Even though they are obviously the richest club in the competition besides the other English team.
Yeah. There is argument as to whether English teams of that caliber should be in it. But yeah, like, they saw Oliver Glasner doing a belly slide across the pitch. Like, they seem to be enjoying themselves. And like, they've had an amazing season. Really, like, in the last couple of seasons, in fairness. And yeah, like, is Rayo Vallecano a match for Crystal Palace? Probably not. But they only won 1-0 in the end, so.
Yeah, so nearly.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Ah, no, look, listen, as far as the thing goes for Crystal Palace and their fans, it's absolutely amazing. I mean, that's their first ever European title. And although it's a competition that's only been around for a couple of years, it's brought a lot of joy to a lot of different fan bases, even when Roma won it. It was their first European title in 50 odd years, I think it was, with Jose. Yeah, so like, it does.
He counts it.
Yeah, he counts it for sure. Yeah. And so take nothing away from them at all. There's no celebration police going on here at all. But I kind of mentioned this yesterday when I was talking to him. Hasn't been the first person to mention it. It's been mentioned an awful lot. I don't know if this English team should even be in the Conference League. I know you've said that before, Ger. Yeah, it's just one of them. It's just the financial difference between all these teams is crazy. Yeah. And again, they won 1-0 last night. So, finals are... They tend to be cagey. They tend to be tight affairs. Rare, there's a bit of a
blow-up. Unless it's the mighty Villa smashing Freiburg.
Yeah, well, that, yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah. But again, and you'll know that, like, you can take an objective view on this stuff as to how the English teams have got a sizable advantage to the rest of the teams around Europe for one reason or another. But that doesn't matter to all these Palace fans who travelled over to the game last night and it was an outrageous amount of fans in Selhurst Park last night too.
Yeah.
Watching along the game, yeah, yeah. And the celebrations look great genuinely take nothing away from them at all.
I passed Selhurst Park on the train last week and it's proper old school.
Yeah.
Looks class.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
I would actually love to go to a game there. Mm. Look, Glasner, and it's such a weird season because obviously.
Yeah.
He was doing his best to get fired at several points, and then they decided, well, actually, all right, you've told the truth, you can go at the end of the year. Mm. And I'm glad he did stay because it's a suitable end. It's been a remarkable run of achievement for him, considering they keep selling his best players.
Yeah.
Imagine if they'd kept the two forwards.
I know,
and the centre back.
Yeah, if this
they'll be a good team.
They'd still have Gehi, Elisa and Eze. Wow.
They'd be at least this year have... in the running for qualifying for the Champions League.
And look how kind of lacklustre the likes of Liverpool and Chelsea have been.
Yeah.
I mean, they could have comfortably finished fourth.
Spurs falling off a cliff.
Spurs too, of course.
There is a thing here now, like with Palace, they shouldn't get stagnant like West Ham did after they won the Conference League, because they kind of started seeing themselves as a big six team, got rid of Moyes, and then obviously things have gone pear-shaped now, they're back down in the Championship. So, there is a little bit of don't get too carried away, because the opposition you probably faced in this campaign, they're not necessarily European level, but like we say, brilliant achievement, and it's been a class couple of seasons for them. I just like to see them keep some of the players that they're producing every now and then. I know there's obviously the incentive to sell them is very strong, but I would like to see a very strong Palace team. And like, a lot of these, they're not necessarily homegrown, but they do develop the players and when they come through. And
they invest in the Championship as well, which is...
Yeah.
It turns out a good market to buy players in.
Absolutely, yeah.
Like, a really good market to buy players in over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
I mean, even the value of getting Gyökeres before he'd gone to...
Exactly.
Somebody had spotted that.
Exactly.
I don't know why, if there are fewer players, like the Adam Wortons of the world, who have exploded in value.
The Gyökeres thing was weird though as well, in that he was already in the Premier League and then went, and then they went
maybe because he hadn't been great.
Yeah, he'd been a really good looking at Brighton. He was good with Coventry obviously, but yeah, you're right about the Adam Wharton type stuff. There were a couple of players there. I mean, Hayden Hackney, who's got player of the year in the Championship, he's at Middlesbrough. I mentioned that a couple of months ago, I think, on one of the green scenes. I can't see him not being in the Premier League next year, and he's cut from a similar cloth to Wharton. So there are lads there. There's opportunities there in the market for teams like this. And to be fair, sometimes it probably is more affordable even now to be buying abroad than it is to be buying from the Championship, because the teams in the Championship recognise the value of their players, and they see the likes of Eze, they see, and Palace is the easiest example because they are the ones who put the most trust in that market. But the Wharton, like Adam Wharton, from what I did see the game last night, it wasn't a whole lot, looking back at a couple of highlights, but everything I'm reading about Adam Wharton is, it's just so, and I actually saw as well in his press conference, he was saying he was playing with a dodgy ankle, he'd rolled his ankle or something, he was in a bad way, but he's a cut above, isn't he?
He's very good, yeah. And Nathan came back from them playing Shells that time in Talca, and he was like, this guy's unbelievable. But was it somebody in this show in the last week was talking about Morgan Rogers and how Borough weren't too sad to see him go? Did somebody say that in passing?
It doesn't come to mind. I wouldn't doubt it.
Like, he was 11 million and now he's going to be whatever.
Yeah.
If Anthony Gordon is 70 sterling, which is what it says, the fee agreed.
This is wild.
By Barcelona is, Barcelona wanted 100. Sorry, Newcastle wanted 100. That was what they'd said all along. Bayern were offering around 50, and it looks like they're going to get 70.
That's a good, they've done well, I think.
Yeah.
I cannot for the life of me understand the logic behind Barcelona doing that though. They wouldn't pay 30 million for Rashford, who, yes, is a little bit older, but
obviously see him every day in training.
Well, that is true. But he has been contributing on the pitch to a team that's gone and won the league. I don't know if he's been very good.
The reclamation project, another Unai Emery success, I would say. But I can't see that it is somebody who's younger, and they're slightly different in terms of what they offer you.
They're going to be playing the same position, though. You're right, they do offer something different, but it is very much a case of we're going to sign you or you. And they've opted to go with Gordon by the sound of it. I don't know, I just think it's a bit mad. I think it opens up a whole can of worms as well for Manchester United and Marcus Rashford and Michael Carrick, and what the hell happens there.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that. Very tasty can of worms.
So once they qualify for the Champions League, there's an accelerator in his salary. Boom.
Okay.
Of course, his salary is still controlled by Manchester United because he's 2 more years left on his contract. What a great deal that was.
Yeah.
Will Michael Carrick take him back? Carrick obviously in the papers today for signing Ederson. That deal looks like it's going to go through as well.
Yeah.
It's the Gordon deal is at the point of a medical.
The personal terms are agreed with Ederson, isn't it? Remember anecdotally watching him in the Europa League final a couple of years ago in Dublin. And they hammered Bayer Leverkusen, that unbelievable Xabi Alonso Bayer Leverkusen team. And he was very good.
He only has a year left in his contract, which is perhaps why he's available at that price.
Yeah,
he was, as if they've been chasing him for ages.
He was heavily linked with Atletico as well, I believe. Atletico Madrid for a good while there.
Who have now turned their attention to Wolves for one of their midfielders, so.
Yeah.
Would Manchester United fans take Marcus Rashford back? I wonder will he actually end up Spurs.
We had a Manchester United fan to ask us questions.
Is that a Deserby signing? Mm. I'm not sure. It might be. He might be perfect for that.
I definitely would. My take him back. My instinct would be that Carrick is more likely than anyone to get something out of him. And I think, to be fair, he's already, I'd consider him in form. One of the best club sides in the world. Obviously, it's a little easier to play better football when you're, you know, passing the ball to Lamine Yamal. But he's done some very great individual things as of late. His free kicks have been excellent. I'd imagine some Man United fans would disagree with me, but I don't really see why you wouldn't take him back and just see what happens. It's different. It would be different if it was still Amorim or someone new had been brought in for next season. But I just think Carrick's the perfect type of guy to reintroduce Rashford to the squad, remind him who he is in English football as well, and kind of reinstill that importance in his own head that he is this homegrown talent that means a lot to the city and to the football club. And I think it's worth a try anyway.
Like, it'd be a great comeback story, right?
Yeah, 100%. And like,
there were questions about his application in Manchester.
Yeah.
There were lifestyle issues around.
Yeah.
You know, the trip to Belfast. That was his pals. That's where
Larn.
That's where his pals are. Larn specifically, yes. Lovely Larn.
Just amuses me.
And maybe they resurface.
That's always
maybe in Barcelona he can go and have a night out and nobody knows about it and it's a bit more laissez-faire and the games are a bit later in the evening.
Well, there was one or two things about him showing up late to training in Barca as well.
At the beginning, I remember that.
Yeah, which obviously is kind of the same ilk.
Yeah, but that's what happened
in Manchester.
Yeah, a couple of times.
But yeah, you'd hope that he's kind of realised that football isn't guaranteed and that, you know, when he did show up for those trainings late, that Flick dropped him from the team. It was like, that doesn't slide around here, buddy. Mm. So you'd hope he's kind of learned and matured. And what age is he now?
He's 29.
I suppose you give him a chance, and if he is showing the same signs as he was before he left, then you deal with it then. But I think Carrick will give him a shot, and he's as good a chance as anyone to get something out of him.
Do you think Gordon or Rashford will start for England at the Euros? Or the World Cup, regardless? Sorry.
No, I don't think so.
You don't think Tuchel fancy either of them?
Depends what formation he goes for.
Well, it of course does. Yeah, I think he's got to try and find a way to get Rodgers in the team from the start. And Gordon's a great impact player to have. Rashford's a great impact player to have.
Yeah,
and Gordon, he'll run for you all day off the bench.
You know what you're going to get from him, yeah.
And you're definitely, if you're smart, you're using all five subs because of the conditions. So.
Here, Palace new manager. Do you think that's going to be Raiola? Seems a very...
It's a sideways move.
If not down.
No, I think if Raiola doesn't get the job he wants in the summer, he just waits and sees how things go at Liverpool and is like, I'm this amazing. Do some Monday Night Football. Get your philosophy out there. Going, I don't have to play. I can play three at the back, four at the back, I can play two at the back. I mean, I'm a tactical savant here.
Two at the back. Yeah, I'd like to see two at the back. That sounds like a bit of Ange. Ange, could Ange get the Palace job? Who's favourite for it?
It was Robbie Keane for ages, but that seems to have come off a little bit.
Supposedly, it is. Supposedly, Iraola is the favourite.
What odds?
2-1 on.
2-1 on.
Oh, Jesus.
Nice.
Iraola.
Why would he do
Thomas
that?
Frank Lampard, Jose Bordalas, who was Getafe, I think, cafe manager. Marcelinho then, and Pierre Sage. Gareth Southgate 16-1, same price as Robbie Keane.
Right.
I can't personally see Gareth Southgate taking a Premier League job. Unless it's Manchester United, but I don't think that's going to happen. I just can't picture him on a touchline week in, week out for some reason.
Mm.
In my own head.
Yeah, he talking about moving to other sports and doing other things and like administration and stuff. I think that probably would be a good thing for him to get into as opposed to back to the day-to-day grind. We didn't talk about Kieran Dewsbury-Hall.
Oh, yeah.
There's a press conference yesterday where Seamus Coleman was asked about him.
Yeah.
And he said, I've been pushing nearly every day as we have a coffee. It doesn't feel right for him now, which I respect as well. He's not wanting to wait, and then jump to Ireland. This is Seamus talking about it. I think his dream is to play for England. I'm not speaking for him. He's done interviews talking about that. But I think there still might be time to get into him. Fabulous player, a good friend, and I don't want to put any more pressure on him or force his hand or anything. At around about the exact same time as this, as these comments were being published, randomly, Kieran Dewsbury-Hall had responded to one of the Twitter accounts.
Yeah.
Which had said, confirmed he's going to play for Ireland. Yeah. Definitely, 100%. And he's like, just not true. Massive respect to Tricolour. As I previously stated.
Loves the flag.
But I'm English and England is always the dream.
Yeah.
That's fair enough.
Yeah, it's great.
That's fair enough.
Why do we need to...
A fast no is better than a long...
Yeah,
exactly.
It's already. Why are we doing it again, you know?
it was just mad that somebody had obviously decided to ask.
Yeah.
Coleman.
You're right. Like, it is. It's a funny turn of events, all right. But, more power to him. Leave him at it. Hope it goes well for him.
Yeah, that dream is dead.
I just hope it's not a case of when he's 32.
He hasn't got any cap.
Listen, mate.
Yeah.
The English don't want you to get in here.
Okay, so what about the squad is being named for the home Euros?
No.
He's got nowhere near it. He's not going to change his heart.
He just said he didn't want to play for Ireland.
Nick O'Brien got him up against the wall on training and said, come on.
Yeah, look.
I just leave him off. Like,
is if he's going to be playing for Ireland, I'll support him regardless of what age he is or how good he is. But
we know this not to be true, Matthew.
No, we don't. I don't know what you're talking about.
Sally Spot is just no. picking out a collar there on something.
What? Oof. Less of that.
It's a deep perturbation in the force.
It's the same thing with Liam Delap. I'd rather Liam Delap just tell us what he thinks. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's obviously in some fashion.
I think we know what he thinks. I think if no
that's,
one tells
but that's what
think,
I'm saying. Though, yeah, I'd like him just to say it. And then we can all move on
well,
with our lives.
He's definitely keeping his options open.
He'd want to start playing a bit better issue. Anyway, regardless of anything.
Another
else.
Non-scoring striker. Yeah. That's exactly what we need.
Yeah, no, he likes fighting.
He frustrates me. I think I've talked about that before, yeah. Just comes on and gets yellow cards.
We'll come back to some of the rugby stuff in a few minutes' time. And we'll come back to scoring Irish strikers in a moment as well. Just want to talk a little bit of GAA here at the top. Everybody thinks everybody got lucky. Obviously, we had Jim Gavin in with us yesterday. That's carried in the papers this morning, talking about lucky Jim. Jim McGuinness, extremely lucky. And then we did talk about the CCCC on the show yesterday and how that whole process actually works. We did ask the GAA for comment about exactly what happened because essentially, if the referee dealt with it at the time, then the CCCC has no option. They can't retrospectively go back and look at either the Clifford incident or the push that Jim McGuinness had. And we got this statement from the GAA Communications. The CCCC does not generally comment on the specifics of any incidents they review. In terms of the Kerry-Donegal game, the CCCC was satisfied that all relevant incidents were covered in the referee's report and therefore no further action arises. So that means that the Clifford incident was seen and adjudicated as nothing, and that the Jim McGuinness incident was seen and adjudicated by the stern, don't do that again, get rid of everybody from the sidelines at halftime. It'll be interesting to see if Sean Hurston pays a price for that when he could have just said, I didn't see either of them. And then there would have been this mad scandal over the next week as like, oh, what happens here? What band does Clifford get? There's no option but for it to be 12 weeks for McGuinness. If the CCCC says, well, you have a case to answer here. And we'd be shorn of two of the best things about Gaelic football for, in Clifford's case, one game, more than likely. Mm-hmm. So he's taken one. It looks like Hurston has taken one for the team.
Yeah, that's what you'd read from it. Do you know when they said the CCCC was satisfied that all relevant incidents were covered in the referee's report? Does that, when they say relevant incidents, does that mean that they've watched all of the match, they've read the report, and they've decided that nothing that was outside of the report warranted them to take any further action?
Yeah. I my inference from that, and again, we were talking about this with Jim Gavin yesterday. It's like, maybe they just need to be a bit more, like, this whole, we don't comment on stuff. It's like, well, we've all seen it. So what does it mean? You're asking that question now, having heard what the rule book says and having heard the statement and having watched the games, and still you've got questions about what exactly does that mean?
Yeah.
My inference is that, Hurston mentioned the big incidents because they're the big incidents. Like, this all erupts. So between full-time and the actual writing of the report and sending it in, there's an opportunity for him to go and see, did we miss anything?
Exactly.
I saw that, saw that.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, did you see these? Because if you did, put them in your report. Anyway, look, we'll talk to some former referees over the next while to see exactly what that process would be like and what kind of pressure you're under in the aftermath, something like that.
I'm sure there'll be something that happens at the weekend as well that is in some way loosely or very tightly linked to everything that we've spent the last couple of days talking about, particularly when we get to hear from the Dublin camp.
Yeah.
Which, of course, we will.
Brian Fenton said about Clifford, it was a raised elbow. We don't want to be refereeing all these situations, but it wasn't dealt with on the pitch.
Hmm.
I mean, it seems to have been dealt with on the pitch. It was high and dangerous, like what I was sent off for at the time in the league final against Derry, even if it wasn't a strike, and David probably deserved retrospective action.
I remember
now,
that. Yeah.
Was that on Conor Glass, or am I remembering that wrong?
I do remember. I don't even remember exactly who was on, but I remember it being a little bit, yeah, there was talk about it afterwards.
Anyway. Yeah.
Owen was at pains to point out, you can't be going back and looking at everything like that.
No, you can't. There's, no, you can't. You know,
is it
right.
Just because it's Clifford that, like...
No, I don't think so, no. I think it's because of what came after it too, you know?
Yeah.
It's the fact that it boiled over so much that, and then all these other different things happened.
I think maybe if your man hadn't gone over so easily.
Yeah, but I also think there's also a similar thing happened. It kind of happened a few minutes earlier, didn't it? Between Clifford and McGonagall as well.
The third yeah, the second anyway.
It was a build-up of things, and I imagine that's probably what led to the Donegal players running the length of the pitch to...
Get involved,
yeah. Now, it's funny, you can go back a step every time with this sort of stuff, because I think there was definitely a world... Yeah, there was definitely a world as well where the Donegal players were thinking, look, we'll try rattle Clifford a little bit here, you know? which you can go back to
go back to the league final then, and start in the league final.
Back.
Michael Murphy. I think teams will be terrified now to get into any sort of scuffle, even though... You know,
What did it?
There hasn't been any bans from this game.
There hasn't been any punishment.
It's, I know.
Barmy Hulburn's going over the top, obviously.
Yeah, but you're looking at Kerry and Donegal. So if Cavan and Westmeath this weekend, right, and there's a major riot on the pitch, let's say the exact same thing happens, probably not getting the same leeway. Dermot McCabe's not getting the same leeway.
Yeah, I would probably agree with that. But what does that mean?
Well, no one wants a 12-week ban. Not that it would matter much to Cavan, let's be honest.
No one's getting one, apart from Jerry Brennan.
I think the next manager is going to pay the price.
That's what I'm saying.
And that's convenient.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Oh, but that's teams getting involved in scuffles, they're going to be like, oh, it's none. If there's a fine.
Yeah.
Just don't punch anybody.
Well, people are
not
going
punching,
down so
not digging.
It's like hurling.
No kicking,
like,
no spitting.
I would just hate for us to get to a world where, and we obviously have done it over the course of the last couple of days, and it's been justified, where the talking points from the GAA at the weekend is just...
VAR.
VAR, yeah. I would do my nothing, because it's doing my head in around football at the minute.
I think this was so...
It was. I agree. That's what I'm saying. It's totally justified.
Pretty egregious. Yeah.
Because, like, it's...
The reaction to it and everything, yeah.
And because you're Brennan.
Yeah.
Who must be going, what the...
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, you would be raging, wouldn't you?
Yeah. And, like, Dublin need to nurse that grievance now and get the opportunity to knock out one of these teams.
Did you take out on Loud once again?
Yeah, poor Loud.
You took out on Loud the last time. You have to do it again.
Like, if they lose, there's surely a hot ball scenario where it's Kerry versus Dublin, knockout football.
Mm.
Where does that non-quarterfinal 2B game be?
That's a, I think there
it's
are,
a draw.
I think it's home advantage. I think it's a random home draw. Like,
so it could be either Clare or
Broker. As far as I'm aware. Shifty lad with the comment of the morning. Can we agree that CC is awkward to say, so just narrow it down to C4 or CX4?
C4.
C times 4. I think that's... That's
CX4, the rebranding.
CX4.
You could charge a lot of money for that type of rebranding, Shifty. Come on.
What do we think about the... I know we've stuff to get to here. The diving, though. Like
the diving is not a great look, is it?
It's gotten bad, hasn't it, this season?
Well, it's...
I know it's been progressively getting worse, but I think this season it's particularly bad.
And the surrounding the referee, looking for a card.
Yeah, like...
And that was supposed to be... You're supposed to be getting rid of that.
Well,
if everyone's doing it, though.
No, but I mean, sorry, that was the whole point of the rule thing, isn't it? Is that you say anything to anyone at any point, you don't.
That's a league rule. But you're not a championship rule.
Yeah, it is, right? Until it isn't. And it happens at the end of a game when a match is level.
In the final.
Fury gets brought up 60 yards.
Yeah.
And then we go all the way back and go through all the games where it wasn't applied.
Could do an extra rule on it. Should we get to Seamus Coleman?
Yes. So Seamus Coleman is in the back of all the newspapers and the top of the sports pages, the Irish Times, go with Coleman dismayed over players having to answer questions on Israel fixture. I think it's less that they have to answer the questions so much as, I know, that's exactly what he says in fairness. So I've got a heart and I know difference between right and wrong. Players hear the public over taking on Israel. Actually, we have the video of this, I think.
Yeah, we do,
Let's play this. I'll show you the other headlines in a minute.
My views are very clear in the fact that Nathan and the younger players in Ireland and the fans and the manager, that shouldn't have landed on our toes to answer questions about this. It should have been dealt with above us. You know, I said to Tony earlier, I'm a dad, I'm a husband. I've got a heart. I know the difference between right and wrong. So it's, I mean, if I ask you the same question, I'm sure you're off the same opinion of what's happening. It's awful. It's extremely sad. And it's a very difficult position for the players to be in. I don't think we should be in this position. Absolutely not. But of course, we've got an answer on it. And as I touched on with my points, it's very uncomfortable.
So when you say above, you mean FAI, government, UEFA?
Yeah, you know, FAI, UEFA, whatever it is. I feel like it shouldn't have landed on 22, 23, 24-year-old lads that are here to play for their country. It shouldn't have landed in theirs. So we represent our people, the people of Ireland, so we've got to take that into account of what their opinion is on it all as well. And then, you know, it's not straightforward either. So that's the human side. That's so important. And like everyone in here, like the manager talked on, it shouldn't have been on our toes. And then there's the football side and the sanctions and everything that comes with it. But very difficult for us players, difficult for the manager, difficult for all the staff that we're dealing with this. But of course, you know, our feelings as human beings on it.
Yeah, so James Coleman threading the needle between here's what we really think about this. It's time for someone in a position of power to step up, and still no sign of anybody from the government saying anything other than, they'll play the game. I won't go to it, of course. I'll make sure that
I have something else on at that time.
I don't have to be in any way tarnished with this, but we're not going to do anything.
It was nice to hear an answer like that. And you know, I understand they're in a difficult position, and Nathan Collins is a young captain, and I don't expect him to come out with a speech or anything like that, but it was nice to hear some sort of view on it from Seamus Coleman. And it's okay to say, like, I know there's probably only a certain amount they can say, but it's okay to voice your concern and about what's going on over in Palestine. So yeah, it was refreshing to hear that, and you know, not getting a robotic answer out of him and actually hearing what he thinks about the situation at hand. And also nice to know that they feel like they've been put in an uncomfortable position, which is something we haven't really heard too much either. It's a tough one, like.
Yeah.
It's not an easy one.
Yeah. I still think that there's an opportunity for, it looks like there's a groundswell within the FAI rank and file to get the game abandoned. It's just whatever the repercussions are going to be for the organisation, whether or not they get support from the government if they do decide not to play the game, or will the government hold this against them down the line, or withhold funding for whatever reason. We shall see. A palate cleanser?
Yes.
We bring you some goodness?
A palate cleanser.
Hey! That's why they pay you the big bucks.
Do they?
Troy Parrott has done the latest episode of Inner Drive. He's a remarkable young fella. Watch this.
So talk to us about Budapest then. And that afternoon, is it still something that you managed to find huge amounts of joy in?
Of course. I think I always will. It's obviously hard now because of the way that's all ended, but I'll have that forever.
What are the memories that really stick out from those few hours?
Celebrating in the change room after is always great. But I actually didn't do much. I went back to the hotel with my family and sat down and talked for most of the night.
You could hear a pin drop in the lobby. It was that quiet. You were just all sitting there saying, what is that that's happening? We couldn't believe what was that to happen. And then, as we said, we got a little bit hungry, so we walked up as far as KFC, got KFC and brought it back to the lobby and sat in there. And then the next day, we all went out for lunch the next day. And it was great to spend that time after that happened, because for him to take it all in.
One thing that felt amazing as a fan watching that was, as you say, the scenes in the dressing room of your generation of Irish footballer finally getting what you deserve. it feels like you've been through the ringer up until that point. And look, Prague has absolutely been put through the ringer as well. But up until that point, you just weren't getting the rub of the green. Lots of bad luck. To finally see the likes of yourself, Nathan Collins even, Caoimhín Kelleher, in an Ireland kit, happy, smiling, celebrating. Felt like a first for us. Did it feel like a first for you?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think since we've been in, we haven't done well. And I feel like the connection between the team and the fans and the whole country was kind of broken a little bit. And it's obviously down to results and not going to tournaments and stuff. So to see like all of that coming back was great.
It's like, you know, when you see that clip over and over again. Do you ever watch a Rocky movie and you keep on watching the Rocky movies? It's like you never get tired of watching that clip all over and over again. And every time I watch it, it's like as if I get very emotional when I watch it. It's like as if it only happened yesterday. So you'll never get fed up watching it, and you'll never forget it.
That's Troy's mom. Troy's brother's one of the other stars of the episode, which you can get on YouTube now. It's available for everybody to watch. And there was a bit which didn't make the final edit, where his brother was talking about, they sent him down to the shop to get rolls for them one morning. So he just cycled down to the local shop, and you're like, imagine being the kid walking in and there's Troy buying two breakfast rolls and a chicken fillet roll, and you're like, well,
It's funny, she's talking about obviously the night in Budapest there, and I was kind of thinking about it while watching it yesterday, that moment hasn't been overwritten whatsoever by what's happened in the aftermath. The fact that we didn't qualify. I almost kind of tend to forget about the fact that we didn't qualify, which is crazy to say. But that's the overriding thing in my mind when I think about this Irish team at the minute and Troy Parrott and everyone involved, is that night in Budapest. Maybe I'm on my own with that, but...
No, I don't think you are.
It's such a special moment in Irish sport, and I don't think it... Like, it obviously does matter whether we qualify or not, but it brought a lot of hope back to the team, and I don't think that's been lost since.
And I thought that at the time, that it felt significant outside of the fact that it got us into a World Cup playoff in that. Yeah. And coupled with the Portugal game the few days prior, and the fact that we actually had a match in Dublin where people could actually really go to and get involved in, and the outcome was successful, that it did create the buy-in, and that carried through to Prague. And I think the biggest blessing of it all was the fact we had 6 months to revel in it and live in the kind of moment of thinking, we're back, this is brilliant, this is unbelievable. And obviously Prague was a bit of a letdown, but a letdown in the sense that we didn't win. It wasn't a letdown in terms of the occasion.
No,
it was an absolutely unbelievable occasion.
I think the point he made there is that the connection between the fans and the team is back, and that's very powerful. Like, he's turned them into a club side in many respects, that they have that bond and they have that willingness to fight and play together, and they have a very clear identity. People aren't always going to be happy with everything, but they've seasoned in a few young players. Seamus Coleman is committed to going all the way to the Euros.
Yeah. There's another point within the doc when himself and Owen started talking about the under-21 team from a couple of years ago.
Oh, you listen off all the players.
It's essentially our team.
Yeah.
With a couple of other guys, again, younger again, that have been spliced in, and then with the older heads as well.
Any inter-county side would be delighted to get that many through for an international football team to get so that many.
Jim talking about it yesterday, you only get 3 or 4 lads every year if you're doing well.
Off the Ball Breakfast
with Viagra Connect 50 milligram film coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Rugby.
There was a gulf in the two teams, and that was the most disheartening thing. And does that mean that Leicester can't come back? No, of course they can rebuild, but the mountain is bigger than it's ever been.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.